Now, in a black sky, a sliver of sunlight crests the Earth. Rays of light shoot off the continents, and a three-dimensional word orbits the planet, Universal. A web address appears, www.universalstudios.com. In another logo, chalk lines graph a corona of light, then form rotating gyroscopic rings. Working title.
أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الدنيا في الآخرة.
Now, fingers hold a book open. An Arab man with bushy eyebrows sits near a window reading from the book. Another individual approaches.
See it.
The bushy-eyebrowed man looks up.
He'll understand.
Subtitles. It's time. The other man heads into the bathroom of their hotel room. Looking after him, Ziad sways on his bed, then lowers his gaze. Now, titles appear. Universal Pictures and Studio Canal present. In association with SKE. A working title production. A white title bleeds in, then focuses. United 93. Nighttime. An aerial view drifts over the V-shaped intersection of Times Square. Reflected lights shimmer on the facades of skyscrapers. The road split off toward shorter buildings. Now, a view through a slightly ajar door shows Ziad's companion rinsing his hands. Later, he shaves his chest. A mirror reflects his bare back as he shaves his groin. At dawn, skyscrapers stand tall against the dim light. In another hotel room, a muscular man holds a palm-sized book to his brow, then kisses it. Around a corner, a boyish man wears a pensive stare. His muscular companion tightens his lips. In the other hotel room, Ziad and his roommate kneel on a rug and bow their heads to the floor. Outside, the sun appears through gaps between skyscrapers. Now the muscular and boyish men pray. One man holds his palms open. Another stows a shiv in the waistband of his pants. The two men hug. Ziad cups his hands to his face. Now he and his companion sit up from their prostrated positions. Back on his bed, Ziad closes his copy of the Quran. He sits slouched. He stares at the closed palm-sized book. Blinking contemplatively, he looks to his side. Now the boyish man and muscular man exit their room. In another hall, the clean-shaven man follows Ziad, who wears glasses. Now, in the full light of morning, our view travels past a freight dock. A message on shipping containers reads, "God bless America," and shows an American flag. The twin towers crest the distant skyline. Later, a traffic sign reads, "Newark Airport." A dashboard view passes a terminal. A parking lot sits several stories below. Ziad and his companion exit one car. The other two men climb out of a different car. The two pairs approach the airport separately. Travelers exit cars outside the terminal. A woman sets her suitcase on the curb. The boyish man enters the airport through a revolving door, followed by his muscular companion. Police officers patrol the concourse. Waiting in line, a woman lets out a weary sigh. In another line, a strapping man in a fleece vest checks his watch. Now, an American Airlines plane takes off. Jetliners belonging to United taxi on a runway. A terminal window looks out on the Newark Air Traffic Control Tower. Inside.
1493 Newark Tower, the wind 0506, clear line runway 4 right.
Now, a United Airlines jet sits hooked up to an air bridge. Inside the empty plane, lights illuminate. Now, two pilots cross the boarding gate.
You live here or you commute?
I'm actually live here. I'm living in a little town about an hour north of here.
I live in Denver. I came in last night. You see all those thunderstorms last night? I didn't think I was going to get in.
They turn a corner.
I picked this up.
Four flight attendants approach from a windowed corridor. Now the pilots cross the air bridge.
I'm still working. I'm trying to get certain days off, and it looks like the only way I can get it is a bit reserved.
And, you know, I go back to the training center. I have month on, month off, so I'll be giving check right up, Denver.
Not too bad.
Lisa should be home.
At the gate.
You cut it close today.
The flight attendants head into the air bridge. Now the boyish Arab man glances over his shoulder as he moves down a hall. His muscular companion walks behind. Now at a security checkpoint.
Next, please.
A guard waves a wand over the clean-shaven man. The traveler retrieves his carry-on bag. Ziad stands a few yards off, watching, then approaches the metal detector. The clean-shaven man waits on the other side. Seeing Ziad get in line, he turns and walks off. The bushy-eyebrowed man places his bag on the X-ray carousel. Now, two flight attendants board the plane.
She's got a crush on that maintenance man.
Later, guys.
Oops. Oh. Keep taking
it. In the cockpit.
I go over here and build my nest. You want to go outside and do the walk around?
Yeah. I'll be with you in about 5 minutes.
All right, I'll be here.
The co-pilot goes out to the air bridge. Now Ziad wears his bag over one shoulder as he crosses the windowed corridor. At the gate, the muscular and boyish Arab men sit next to each other. The clean-shaven traveler eyes them as he approaches. A seated, long-haired woman talks on a cell phone. A man with wavy blonde hair holds a cell phone to his ear. The clean-shaven traveler takes a seat. A gray-haired man uses his cell.
All right, well, is it a complicated graphic? Because if it's really...
Ziad finds a seat.
Hi, Kimmy. Yeah, I'm at the gate.
A freckled traveler in a black shirt sits down beside him and checks his cell phone display. Ziad shifts nervously. Outside, a fueling tank reads flammable. The co-pilot lifts his gaze to a pair of hoses fueling the plane. Now words appear. National Air Traffic Control Center, Herndon, Virginia. A man enters a room filled with computer consoles.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the promotion, Ben.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning. Well, thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
I'm happy to see you're all awake.
John, how are you this morning,
sir? Mr. Slaney, good morning to you.
You know the fellas?
Yes, I do. How are you? Good to see you. Good morning. How are you? How was that midship?
Rough.
Yeah.
The floor is yours. Hold on, and I'll see you at the 8:30.
Thanks, John. Okay. I'll catch up with you.
Yes. Good. Ready for a brief?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. We've got a small system to the southwest. Nothing too big. Shouldn't be a big problem. Some low ceilings over San Francisco. Nothing major. That system finally moved off to the east, and we've got clear skies.
Good. It'll be a good day on the East Coast. Yeah. Yeah, what time's that fog supposed to lift on the west, you know?
We're looking early afternoon.
Excellent, excellent.
The president moving out of Sarasota today up to Andrews. Yeah. Got restrictions in place till 10:30. Standard ops and the morning, normal morning restrictions in New York.
Yeah, he's always wants to fly, right, when the traffic's the heaviest. Thanks. See you, fellas.
Slaney walks off. At a console, a worker folds his hands behind his head and leans back in his chair.
New York cranking up?
Yes, sir.
All right, good.
Slaney scans his workers, then looks to a wall of large screens. Computerized maps show the eastern seaboard and the continental U.S. Back at Newark Airport, a gauge tallies the gallons of jet fuel as it spirals down a glass cylinder. The twin hoses stretch up to the plane's fuel tank. The co-pilot peers up at it from underneath, then walks past the nose of the aircraft. He waves to the pilot in the cockpit. On board the plane, a curly-haired flight attendant picks up a wall phone in the front galley.
You guys hear me back there?
Do you guys have sugars up there? Okay.
Steals newspaper.
Oh.
In the cockpit.
Yeah, for cockpit access knob, let's use 3-1.
3-1?
Yep, that'll get you in.
At the gate.
Should they mark to them? Just didn't want to. It wasn't the right time.
Hey,
two things. First, speaking of Shipley, that email that he sent, when you respond to it, CC me a copy of the response.
The freckled man talks on his cell phone.
No, don't send it to Karen.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not waste. You go to waste, don't you?
You'd be just as happy with Ripple.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin boarding our first class and premier club passengers for United 93's non-stop service to San Francisco.
But I will call you.
Any passengers requiring additional assistance may also board at this time. Now boarding through gate 17, United 93's non-stop.
Now first class passengers board the plane.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome aboard. Excuse me, I'm gonna follow him down there.
The boyish Arab man and his muscular companion take seats next to each other.
Yeah, right down here on the right side.
Good morning, everybody. Sir, can I get you something to drink while you wait?
Now, agents check the tickets of boarding passengers.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your flight.
Eagle.
Thank you, sir.
Still in his seat, Ziad holds a cell phone to his ear. Subtitles appear. I love you. He lowers the phone. He gets up, slings his bag over his shoulder, and steps forward. On the plane, a stout woman moves down the aisle toward a blonde flight attendant in coach. At the door.
Hi, how are you?
The man in the fleece vest boards the plane. A teen girl in a powder blue polo puts on lip gloss. The passenger with wavy blonde hair pulls a laptop from his briefcase. A man in a blue shirt puts his bag in an overhead compartment.
Excuse me?
Sorry.
Another man uses a cell.
Did you talk to the guys from Sony?
He has black hair and wears a striped shirt.
Sounds good.
The man in the fleece vest moves out of the aisle. In first class, Ziad takes his seat just shy of the front galley.
Looks good, Captain.
Great, thanks. Turn the lights off.
Now, a guy in a rugby shirt rushes through the airport.
Final call, flight 93, non-stop service to San Francisco. All passengers must make their way to gate 17.
Back in United 93's cockpit.
35,000 feet as far. Squawk is 5273.
In the first class cabin, the freckled man in the black shirt uses his cell phone.
It's tough.
Is that supposed to be the latest one?
The guy in the rugby shirt rushes aboard.
Good morning, sir. You just made it. 4D?
Thanks.
Welcome aboard. Is that the last one?
Yes.
All right, great. I'll see you later. I think we're ready for you to close. Thanks so much.
A doorman shuts the plane hatch and seals the lever. Now air traffic controllers work at consoles.
Alaskan Airlines contact Bradley approach 13532.
Words appear. Boston Air Traffic Control Center, Boston, Massachusetts. One controller has white hair and a goatee.
Amex 7281, contact Boston 133.42. Have a nice day.
His console tracks the flight paths of over half a dozen planes.
And American 11, Boston Center, good morning.
Boston Center, American 11 is with you, climbing to 14,000.
American 11, turn 20 degrees to the right.
Roger, 20 degrees to the right, American 11.
On flight 93, the latecomer removes his rugby shirt as a black flight attendant shuts an overhead compartment. Ziad fastens his seatbelt.
Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please make sure your tray tables are up.
Your seat backs are in their full upright position, and please switch off all cellular phones and any other electronic devices.
You going home?
Tom glances at the latecomer.
Yeah. Just here for work.
You see that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Ladies and gentlemen from the flight deck, my name is Jason Dahl, and I'll be your captain today. With me is First Officer Lee Homer, and together the two of us will fly you to San Francisco. En route time today is 5 hours and 25 minutes. That will put us on the gate in San Francisco on time or a little bit early, maybe a little bit before 11 o'clock local time.
It's a beautiful day for flying, and our forecast across the country is much as you see here. In just a few moments, our flight attendants will be showing you a very important safety demonstration.
A bearded Caucasian man puts on headphones. The gray-haired man reads.
I urge you to put down your reading materials and pay attention to very important information. Thank you. Welcome aboard.
In Newark Tower.
United 93 ops. Tail north, clear to push.
Okay, tail north.
Clear to push and start.
Okay, tail north. Brakes release, clear to push.
On the tarmac, a ground crewman holds two red batons. The plane backs away from the gate, pushed by a flat vehicle. As a red light flashes atop the aircraft's roof, a service bay frames our view of the receding plane. Now at the control center in Herndon, Virginia, Sliney stands over a man at a console who holds a phone to his ear.
Good morning, this is Rich Sullivan with the 1115 Strategic Planning Telecom. We're updating advisory number 23. First issue, we're showing 15-minute departure delays out of Newark. Can you give us an update there?
I just spoke to Pete. They're going to try and get those reduced or eliminated. They're going to get Washington reduced their restrictions, so it probably will clear up in about a half hour or so.
Okay, we're going to lessen the restrictions or eliminate them on the Newark departures, and the departure delay should be coming down here very soon. Next, we got a large-scale military exercise off the East Coast today. All the offshore routes are going to be closed at 1400. All the traffic will have to be moved in. Any questions on that?
This is Jeff Blue. Is Amber 761 available for offloads today?
Don't go for it.
No exceptions.
No exceptions. All the offshore routes are going to be closed. Everyone's going to be moved in. And that's it. Anybody have anything else for the morning plan? Okay, we'll do the next telcon at 1350.
Good job.
In Boston.
US Air 29, contact Boston approach on 120.6.
A monitor tracks a green dot labeled AAL-11.
And American 11, climb maintain, flight level 350.
Air Canada 129, Boston. US Air 29, contact Boston.
That's for American 11, climb maintain, flight level 350.
Come on.
American 11, Boston. How do you hear Boston Center? Hey, Greg. Try American 11 again. See if he's on your frequency if he came back to you.
American 11, Boston Center, how do you?
Greg stares at his monitor.
American Flight 11, Boston Center, Newry.
Back at Newark Airport, the flat vehicle pushes United 93, guided by a ground crewman.
There are also two window exits located over the wings. Each exit is marked with a sign overhead.
A middle-aged woman reads a book.
Look around to locate the two exits nearest to your seat.
A grandmotherly woman knits.
In some cases, the nearest exit may be behind you. In evacuation, exit path lights will automatically.
The man in the fleece vest shifts in his seat and blinks groggily. A woman in hoop earrings sits by two empty seats. The black-haired man in the striped shirt rubs his mouth.
Do not remove it unless directed by a flight attendant.
In the cockpit. Co-pilot Homer presses buttons. Now a monitor shows the plane's position on the runway.
Good morning, ground United 93, gate 17, ready to taxi. We have Alpha.
United 93, taxi runway 4 left via Bravo, Romeo Bravo, hold short on deck there.
Roger, sir, 4 left, Bravo, Romeo Bravo, hold short Victor, United 93.
And American 11 on emergency frequency. If you hear Boston, come up on frequency 127.82.
In Boston, the white-haired controller glances at his schedule.
Amex 7281, contact Boston on 133.42. Athens, Boston. Do me a favor. You got that United 175 out there. Can you have them take a look and see if you can get a visual on American 11? 767.
United 175, turn 20 degrees to your left, vector for traffic. In your turn, look for traffic, 12 to 1 o'clock, about 15 miles. You're tracking south-southwestbound, altitudes unknown. It's American 767. Let me know if you get a visual on it.
ABX 7281.
Proceed direct O'Neill, zoom on navigation.
Proceed direct O'Neill, zoom on navigation. USS 312, contact Boston 133.42.
November 362, Tango, roger.
Call in Boston Center. Say again, please.
He waits intently, then springs to his feet.
Hey, John, come here.
A dark-haired supervisor gets up from a desk.
What's going on?
Aircraft, call in Boston. Say again, please. This guy here just contacted me. I heard some verbiage over the background. It was not American. It was foreign. They said something about taking over the cockpit. Stay calm. We're going back to the airport. I have no idea who it was. I think we have a hijack situation.
What makes you think that's a hijack?
Just trust me. I heard the guy in my ear, okay? I heard the guy in my ear. Right. You need to check it out.
In Virginia.
Command Center East, Tony.
Hey, Ben, we're doing a coffee run. You want some coffee?
No, I'm filled up with coffee. How are they doing with those restrictions out of New York, Colonel?
Yeah, they got them reduced. So LaGuardia, in fact, is now on a delay. Newark's going to stay a while.
Good job. Good job. Thanks. Excellent.
Tony glances at a stocky colleague.
Rich, you need to monitor this.
All right, let me know.
Rich puts the phone up to his ear and frowns.
Yeah, I'm gonna take this stuff. I gotta get to the 8:30, so.
Sliney puts a stack of papers on his clipboard and heads out. Rich hangs up.
Hey, Ben, hang on.
Yes.
Listen, we're just getting a preliminary report from Boston Center. They think they've got a hijacking.
A hijack?
It's American 11, a heavy 767, departed Boston for L.A.
Where is he now?
He's about 50, 60 west of Boston.
The Squawk 7500?
No, I don't think so. They heard some kind of suspicious transmission, so they're checking on it. All right. Very preliminary.
When you get some hard information, let me know, and I'll brief the staff. Thanks.
Flyney enters a conference room and joins people at a table.
Everything okay?
Yeah, before we get started, that was a possible hijack. American.
What?
Yeah. I haven't seen that in
Anybody
years.
Anybody remember?
Yeah,
when was the last time we had a hijack?
It's been quite a while. At least.
91, 90?
I can't even remember precisely. No, it's Boston LAX, American 11. Yep, they're on it, and they're going to keep me informed.
Okay.
I'll brief you.
Okay.
In Newark, a computer shows Flight 93 taxiing.
United 93, follow the Continental in Delta. Your number 15 for the departure, monitor tower.
Now, Dahl addresses the passengers. In the first-class cabin, the clean-shaven man sits just in front of the coach-class bulkhead. Across the aisle and a few rows up, the boyish man talks to his accomplice.
Well, folks, in the flight deck, Captain Dahl. Looks like we've run into a little bit of rush hour traffic here at Newark
this morning, and that's a typical day at Newark. I count 15 airplanes ahead of us for departure, and they're getting them off about one every 2 minutes, so unfortunately, it's going to be about a 30-minute delay until we get airborne.
I apologize for the delay, and I appreciate your patience, and I'll get back to you with an update. Thank you.
Flight attendants check on the passengers.
Yeah, it's just fine. Just a normal delay out of Newark.
Can I have a pillow and a blanket, please?
Oh, seated alone, Ziad glances nervously.
What did he say?
He mutters to himself, now at Boston Air Traffic Control.
Guys, just keep your planes away from him, man. I have no idea what this guy's doing.
Who are we at, Pete?
I gave all my aircraft over to Greg already. Yeah. He's working them. I'm holding on to this. This guy right here is the only guy I have. He's westbound right now. I heard some voices in my ears.
But no 7500 code?
No, I had no 7500 code. Nothing.
Pete sits at his station.
American 11, Boston Center. American 11, how do you hear?
Pete holds his earpiece as he listens. Two supervisors stand behind him.
What's up, Pete? Where we at?
I just put it up into the speaker here if we hear anything back, but right now we just have the guy. He's due westbound. He's climbing up 293. That's it. That's it right here. Somebody's got to pull these fucking tapes right now.
Pull the tapes now from 0800 on.
Now at the Northeast Air Defense Command Center.
NORAD exercise commencing in 5 minutes.
Rome, New York. A sergeant in woodland camouflage strides to a desk phone.
Hunter's weapon, Sergeant Powell.
In a glassed-off room, a colonel stands jotting notes. He addresses men and women at computers.
Okay, and remember, this is NORAD exercise. Right now, we have Russian bears penetrating the Adirondacks up off Alaska, so you want your tracker techs keeping their eyes open.
Okay, stand by 1 second.
Powell points through a window to the colonel, who faces a woman with her black hair tied in a bun.
Dawn? Go out and see what Powell's so excited about.
Yes, sir.
Dawn enters the cavernous control room with a clipboard.
Powell, what do you got?
Hey, I got a hijack on the phone. Boston.
This is Sim?
No, real world.
Come on, where's the ET?
No, it's a no-shit hijack. It's Boston.
Seriously?
Yes.
All right.
Dawn picks up the phone. In the dim, glassed-off room, the colonel paces, sipping coffee.
Okay, thanks.
Dawn returns to the glassed-off room and finds the colonel at his starkly lit desk.
Well, okay, just give him a call.
Yeah, we have a
general update.
Hijack.
Tell him we're ready here, okay?
Sir, we have a real-world situation here. We have American Airlines Flight 11. It's a 757 out of Boston to LAX.
Mm-hmm. 92 passengers on it.
And it's a 7500.
Still squawking?
No, sir.
Okay, getting the Sipony to the floor. All operational personnel to the floor.
Dawn heads off. The colonel makes a phone call.
This is Colonel Marr here. Let me General Arnold.
Elsewhere, a curly-haired man rushes through a pair of institutional doors and hurriedly accepts a reel-to-reel tape.
Here you go.
The curly-haired man takes it into an audio room and removes the reel from a storage sleeve. He sits at a bulky tape player and puts on reading glasses. Now, on the Boston runway, United 93 sits in a queue of stationary planes. Dahl peers out of the cockpit.
Coach, Captain Dahl again with an update. We're making some progress now. We're about number 4 for departure.
Ziad shifts uneasily. An attendant addresses Tom.
We just want to take your order for breakfast after takeoff. You're going to get it. We have a hot breakfast, which is like an omelet, roll, and fruit.
I'll take that. That's great.
Yeah, great. All right, sorry for the delay. me out of here as soon as we can.
In coach class.
Would you mind bringing me some water with my breakfast? I have to take some pills.
Sure, no worries.
A white-haired man and a man in a denim shirt study a map.
Well,
if we go up there, I'd like to get in the high country.
At Northeast Air Defense, a major strides past up-to-the-minute computerized maps of U.S. airspace. The colonel calls the major's phone from the glassed-off room.
Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Major.
We got a possible hijack in progress.
Out of Boston, American Airlines 757. They're not squawking. Let's find it.
Copy that.
The major faces his crew.
All right, let's go. Listen up, everybody. All right, look. We got a possible hijack. This is real world. Possible hijack. Surveillance. Get your tracking techs on scopes. I want two on a scope.
Copy that.
I want to know if he pops up possible again. ID. Get on the phones with the FAA. Let's get his last known position.
Copy.
Weapons. Otis to battle stations.
Copy that.
Battle stations. Copy.
Do you have a call sign or anything?
American Airlines 11.
American Airlines 11 is the call sign.
Powell and the fresh-faced female officer swap info, now in Virginia.
And now the aircraft is NORAD.
You get a lot of that crap. Somebody's making phony transmissions on the radio.
If it's not confirmed, it's probably a lost radio
call. Right now.
Tony answers a phone.
Command Center, Tony.
Yeah, 15. I mean, anything.
Stand by 1 second.
In the conference
yesterday,
room.
Yesterday, we had two ground delay programs, one at Atlanta and one at O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 850 aircraft delayed. At a 56-minute average and a very modest 47,600 delay minutes.
Benny, that is like $2,000 a minute. We are talking about you are in a hole already for
$90 million,
Ben.
Not even my delay. I started today.
We need you on the floor. We'll get more information.
Rich leans close to Sliney.
All right, listen, excuse me, John, and folks, I'm going to go out and take care of this.
Okay.
We're getting some updates on, and I'll brief you as soon as I get some more information.
All right. What do you got? Right. American Airlines contacted Boston Center. Apparently a flight attendant on board the aircraft via telephone called the company, and she said that the aircraft is being hijacked and one or more people have been stabbed.
Stabbed on the plane?
Yeah. Just confirm American Airlines gave this information to Boston, who called us.
Is the aircraft still on course?
The last I heard, it's getting up there from Tony.
All right, stand by. There's Boston on the line right now. They don't know anything more. There's a suspicious transmission. The controller heard it, and they're pulling tapes to see exactly what was said on the frequency. And American Airlines is the one that called him.
Who is it?
The ops manager of Boston Center.
Hi, this is Ben Sliney.
Sliney listens gravely.
Yes.
He shifts his sober gaze toward a map screen.
All right, does he change altitude?
Sliney nods.
All right. All right, we're pulling it up now. And listen, if you get any further information on the track or the altitude, let me know.
Yep.
All right, give me advice. Thanks.
He faces the controllers.
All right, look, that aircraft has made a turn southbound. And they're not tracking me any longer. They're not getting any mode C altitude information.
American Airlines called
and I see our track has gone ghost on it. But they do say he's heading southbound. I want us to get in touch with New York Center and let them know he's coming. Let's get everything out of its way and even give New York Tracon a call because he may be trying to head for one of the New York airports.
Rich and a colleague head off.
Information's American 11.
Maybe we should get in touch with headquarters and start briefing them on this now. Thanks.
Now, aboard United 93, the rugby player peers casually out the window. In the cockpit, Dahl uses the intercom.
Oh, Captain Dahl with some good news. We're currently number one for departure. We'll be airborne shortly. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
The attendants buckle up.
You know, try and drop as many trips as I can. Yeah. I'd like to be home with my babies.
Yeah.
Did you bring some good magazines to keep yourself awake?
I don't think I've gotten through a magazine in I can't tell you how long.
Back in the audio room, the curly-haired technician starts the reel-to-reel player. He quickly rewinds the tape a few inches. He moves the reels manually. He dials a wall phone.
Yeah, it's Bob here. At
It's planes. Plural, definitely, yeah.
Now at the Newark airport, United 93 taxis into position. In the tower, a clean-cut controller speaks into his headset radio.
United 93, wind 0506, runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
010, 5000, clear for takeoff, 4 left, United 93.
010, 5000, here we go.
In the cockpit, Dahl flips switches, then pushes the throttle forward. The plane starts down the tarmac. In the cabin, passengers read and gaze out the windows. Outside, a smaller jet speeds by on a neighboring runway as United 93 noses through the fume-filled air. On board, the two Arab men flying together jostle in their seats. A male passenger with wavy, light brown hair reads in the sun. A middle-aged woman smiles and consolingly rubs her partner's hand. Seated alone, a balding man wearing a tie peers through metal-rimmed glasses. A dark-haired passenger reads a newspaper. As the plane accelerates, the clean-shaven Arab man rests his clenched fists on his lap. Ziad mutters to himself. In the cockpit, Dahl pulls back on the yoke. On the sunny tarmac, the nose of the fast-moving jet lifts off the ground and the plane takes off. As the plane soars into a clear sky, its landing gear retracts. Now, words print out. New York Air Traffic Control Center, Ronkonkoma, New York. At a bank of tracking monitors, half a dozen controllers watch computerized dots inch across crisscrossing lines.
Saying flight level 220 and maintain a speed of 300 knots.
At a manager's desk, a man with a gray mustache answers a phone.
New York, 281.
Yeah, boss.
Holding the phone to his ear, the manager stands, walks to the bank of screens, and stops behind one controller. He eyes the data soberly.
All right, thank you. I got it.
The manager stands behind one controller.
Flight level 350, speed 310 or greater. Have traffic behind you.
Yeah. American 11, looking at possible hijacking, maybe going back at the Kennedy. They said they heard something that there might be intrusion into the cockpit. All right, just let me know if you hear anything unusual with him or anything. He's not squawking 7,500.
No, he's not doing anything. I'll keep an eye on him.
All right, just keep an eye on him.
Will do.
A second controller looks to Dave.
What's going on?
We got a hijack. It might be a hijack. I don't know. It's American 11. It's going down.
You got a hijack?
I don't know.
You haven't had a hijack in 20 years.
Listen, I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? I just got to watch
Dave,
it. That's
got
all.
A hijack.
Chris, you got that?
Thumbs up.
The manager answers his phone.
Yeah, we're at 175 heavy, New York. Go ahead.
West of Kennedy by 15, southbound, descending is American 11. We're not sure what the problem is yet. Possible hijacking, we're not sure. Passages, something about that.
Roger, United 175 heavy, I'll pass it along.
We're not talking. Hold on.
United 175 heavy just called. He said he heard a suspicious transmission on a radio as he was climbing out of Logan. He said something about everybody stay in your seats. He doesn't know who it came from, but it came out, and he said he just heard it as he was climbing out.
United 175?
United 175 heavy, yes.
And what about American 11?
American 11 still, it's nothing. He's just still going slow. He might be going into Newark or Kennedy or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
Dave's screen shows a vector labeled AAL-11. Now, as United 93 climbs to a higher altitude, Dahl glances at the controls. A young woman in the coach cabin dozes, wearing earphones. The muscular Arab and his boyish companion stare blankly. A man in a blue suit jots on a notepad. The clean-shaven Arab mutters to himself.
To make this turn, those of you on the left side of the airplane have a beautiful view of Lower Manhattan and the New York City skyline.
The blonde attendant looks out a rear galley window.
Looks nice out there.
In first class, Ziad peers over the empty seat to his left and looks out the window, now at National Air Traffic Control in Virginia.
What do you mean there's no one there? Well, you guys must have a backup.
Whatever information they got to give it to us right away.
All right, good.
Hijack controller, no one at the desk. No backup. It's like they're on vacation.
Backup?
There's no backup. There's no one at the
desk. Who are you talking to downstairs?
I'm talking to this guy. He's in the conference room. There's nobody else in there. I'm relaying him the information, and then he's moving to try to
put... He got the tapes. Boston Center got the tapes pulled. They said, we have some planes. That's what he said. We have some planes. That was the suspicious transmission.
Is there any voice recognition?
I'm tracking it.
A map screen displays hundreds of dots.
Med Express 70 centimeters.
Now in the New York Traffic Control Center.
Kennedy, altimeter 299
Delta 351, altimeter 29092. Jilling 4369, New York, altimeter 29096.
What do you get? Amen. American 11, possible hijacking on American 11. He's southbound 767. Nobody's talking to him. I just called the room up and let them know about it. They're not tracking him either right now.
Where was the target list at?
Last time was
American 11, New York.
The Kennedy, ascending to the south.
American 11, New York.
The flight vanishes from the screen. The controller, Dave, shakes his head.
Target's gone. Target for American 11 just disappeared.
Just disappeared where?
Right around Manhattan. It just disappeared. It was right there. It just disappeared. I was talking to the other aircraft. The target just disappeared.
Call Kennedy up, find out if they have. We don't know where American is, right? Call Kennedy Tower up, see if they have him down here, and call Newark Tower up, see if they have him.
At Northeast Air Defense.
What do we got, boys? Anything?
All right, so you need me to go ahead and start a recall for you?
Yes, initiate that.
Okay.
What's the status with Otis? Are those planes ready?
Foxy, what do you got? You got anything?
MCC, battle stations call made 0838. Otis attained battle stations at 40.
08.
Colonel, 0840 slams at battle stations.
Otis at battle stations, copy.
In the glassed off room, the colonel makes a call.
MCC, Boston lost American 11. They don't see him anymore in their scopes. They think maybe he went below radar coverage. They have no idea where he is.
We've got Otis at the battle ready. We need scramble authority.
Copy that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Copy that.
Okay, let's get those Otis birds in the air.
Scramble Otis.
I got him headed.
This is Huntress with an active air defense scramble. I repeat, active air defense scramble. Time is 0846.
Now in the Newark Airport Control Tower, workers spot thick smoke wafting from the New York skyline.
Greg, look at the World Trade Center.
667.
What? Look at the Trade Center, man. Bob, do you see that?
Man, that's a lot of smoke.
The view through a man's binoculars shows smoke trailing from one World Trade Center tower.
Yeah, take a look at the World Trade Center. No, I have no idea.
I'm getting reports from numerous aircraft about smoke in the air. A lot of smoke. A lot of smoke coming out of the North Tower. Correction, it's New York Center. Washington Center.
Thumbs up, Dad.
In New York traffic control, Paul answers a cell phone.
The American was over Manhattan when I lost
the car. A small plane, is that confirmed?
In Virginia.
And I just got a New York call.
Yeah.
They got smoke out of the World Trade Center. They think a small plane has crashed into it.
A small plane?
That's what they're telling me, a small plane into the World Trade Center.
At Northeast Air Defense.
Okay. Sir. Sir. CNN's reporting a light civil aircraft has just hit the World Trade Center.
MCC, CNN has just reported a light aircraft has hit the World Trade Center. Bill, give me CNN up on screen three, will you?
In Virginia.
Ben, yeah. New York Center called. They were tracking the primary target. They've lost it. They said they lost American 11.
It looks like. Where did they lose it?
Somewhere over the city.
Over the city?
Yeah.
He's down
they
over the city?
They don't know if he's under the radar coverage
out there or not. Get in touch with the Metro Towers. See if they got a visual.
As news footage appears on a big screen, workers gape at a multi-story gash in the skyscraper.
Into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. CNN Center right now is just beginning to work on this story, obviously calling our sources and trying to figure out exactly what happened. But clearly, something relatively devastating happening this morning there in the south end of the island.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, that is not a small plane. No way.
Cessna would have bounced off
the size of that hole.
All them people sitting
I got a bad feeling about this. I'll tell you right now.
God, no.
Is that American 11? Is that who they were tracking?
Nobody's telling
no info. I have no info.
Well, which way are we looking here? If we're looking. It looks like the sun's on that side of the building, so we're looking north. He came from our left. He had to come from the west. That aircraft came in from the west into that building.
Who could it be?
Where was American 11? You know what I want you to do? Get in touch with the NYPD. See if they have any information on what caused that in the Trade Center. Look at the size of that explosion.
Black plumes seep from the building on United 93.
And folks, Captain Dahl, we've reached our cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, and I'm going ahead and turn the fastest seatbelt sign off.
That is your signal. You are safe to move about the cabin.
We got the seatbelt sign off.
In the rear galley, the blonde attendant and her cleft-chinned colleague unfasten their belts. Before entering the cabin, they slip on their shoes. The blonde ties an apron around her waist and walks down the aisle, scanning the passengers.
I'll update you on the weather as you get a little closer.
She fixes her collar and heads to the front of the aircraft. The blonde passes through a green curtain into first class and pulls it closed. The clean-shaven man sits alone in the last seat. In another, a droopy-faced man works on a laptop. The blonde enters the front galley.
Hey, can I get a copy of the manifest?
Oh, sure. The curly-haired attendant gives her a list.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's pretty good, huh?
Love these light loads.
As the blonde heads through first class, the muscular man eyes her. Sitting next to him, his boyish companion stares straight ahead. Across the aisle, Ziad swallows in the New York Control Center.
Wow. We heard it was a small plane that hit the World Trade Center, is the last that we heard. Eagle 755, you contact departure on 126.8. I gave you an Eagle 755 also, okay?
Another one?
Yeah, Eagle 755.
755, got it.
Tiger 94, 45. You contact approach on 120.8. Chris, I need you to take this one also.
Hey, Dave, you got an untracked target 5 miles east of Alto.
Thank you. United 175, I need you to reset your transponder, squawk 2374.
On Dave's screen, the dot remains still.
United 175, New York. You read the radio.
The balding man approaches Paul.
Paul American 11. Try him again. Maybe he must have
been. Neither airport had one. New York heard him from Kennedy heard him.
I'll try again.
He's got to be somewhere. He's got to go somewhere.
I agree. United 175, New York. You read the radio. Ident. Traffic's 9 o'clock and 7, southwestbound. Delta Boeing 73, same altitude. United 175, New York. United 175. Paul, United, I think we got another one. The guy dropped his transponder off. United 175, New York. He's out by Allentown. United 175. If you have United 175, you need to switch him back. I have a traffic room. No, I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking to him. I know. Delta 2433, stand by. I can't take any more. I can't take any more airplanes.
We'll take care of it.
Watch that Delta 2315. He's aimed right at him. The same altitude.
Two dots head for each other.
Please, give me a chance to work. Just stay back. Just give me a chance to work. All right. United 175. New York, you read the radio, you have traffic at your 9 o'clock and 4 miles southwestbound, same altitude as a Boeing 73. I'm telling you, this is another hijack. I'm telling you, United 175 traffic is 9 o'clock and 5 miles. Jesus, do you have that Delta?
Delta 2315, traffic, 2 o'clock, 5 miles, southeastbound, 757. Traffic, 3 miles, 1 o'clock, 2 miles, turning southeastbound. 12 o'clock now, no distance, he's right on top of you. Delta 2315, he's right on top of you.
Paul and his crew stare at the display of aircraft. The dots representing the airliners lie a fraction of an inch apart. Resuming, the goateed controller remains on his feet.
Delta 2315, you still there?
On the radar screen, the two dots overlap, then part.
That's our engineer. We are clear, Delta 2315.
Paul, I just went behind him.
Holy shit. Good job, sir. Good job.
Back in Virginia.
Sitting inside her apartment, and she looked up and saw the side of the World Trade Center.
All right, thank you, man.
Exploded with flames and black smoke.
Excuse me, Greg. Something. New York Center says they got confirmation it was a commercial airliner that hit the.
Well, that's it. Hey, that was American 11.
It had to be American 11.
What the hell's going on? But how could he hit the building? Why would he hit the building? Even if it is American 11, why?
You don't get a pilot flying a plane, and they're going to ditch it in the Hudson. They're not going to do this.
No way. Jesus, how many people are in that building?
Pick up yours.
Ben. I'm sorry, New York Center wants you on the phone right now.
Yeah. Yes, New York. Wait a minute, hold on. They think they got another hijack.
It's headed from New York.
We got another hijack?
All right, United 175, get him up on
you. How many people are in that building?
Where is that military liaison?
Somebody help us out. We need some help here.
We're trying to get the military involved. We can't get anybody at headquarters.
We got United. What was that? United.
All right, listen, you take care of your house. We'll take care of this business. Let me know if anything else develops.
United 175, and it's headed straight for New York.
Back in New York.
United 175, New York. United 175. United 175, New York. United 175, New York. This guy's at like 10,000 feet a minute and he's still going down. United 175, New York. See him? This guy's dropping like a manhole cover now, Paul. Still descending eastbound towards New York. This aircraft is going down, I'm telling you right now.
Call the military up, find out where they are.
Okay. All right? Are you listening to me? This guy is going straight down into the ground. I'm telling you, he's not answering me.
We're not targeting, he's descending.
It's like 8,000 feet a minute now. He's
Dave, you still not talking to that guy?
No, I'm not. He's going right through everybody else's traffic.
United 175 vanishes off the screen.
The target's gone. It's gone.
The target's gone.
The target's gone.
We don't have any anymore. We just lost you.
In the Newark Tower.
All right, hold on. Hold on. I got a primary on a target.
Where?
He's rapidly descending. You see that right here?
I'll call you back.
He's coming down quick, yeah. Okay. See that?
Well, who is it?
I don't know.
As they watch a radar screen, the World Trade Center's North Tower smokes in the distance.
Yeah, descending rapidly.
No, there he is. There he is, right there, over the Verrazano Bridge.
Oh, yeah. Look how fast he's going.
No, he's going right up the Hudson River Center. Oh my God.
News footage shows the airliner speeding toward the towers.
Jesus Christ.
A cloud of fire erupts from the South Tower. At Northeast Air Defense, military controllers spring from their chairs as they watch the newscast.
Did you see that? Did you see that, sir?
In Newark.
I have to call you back.
The tower controllers stare, transfixed on the destruction. In Virginia, Sliney and his crew watch the live broadcast.
Jesus Christ.
A female technician covers her mouth. At Northeast Air Defense, the female sergeant shakes her head. The major steps back and forth with his bewildered gaze fixed on the screen. He faces the sergeant.
Shauna, what do you got? What do you got, Shauna?
Boston just said they have another hijacked aircraft, United 175.
Copy that. We've got another hijack. We've got two hijacks, 175, also out of Boston.
Are they, does Boston, is it, get on with FAA. Who was that?
There's no confirmation, sir.
MCC, we need our planes over Manhattan. We need those Otis birds over Manhattan now.
You got it. All right, weapons, weapons.
Aboard United 93, the black-haired man smiles politely at an attendant.
You got sugar in your coffee? Okay. What would you like to drink?
The curly-haired stewardess peeks into the cockpit.
You know, I'm going to serve you guys up first because there's only six. That's okay? It's a beautiful takeoff.
Ziad watches from his nearby seat.
So you're still okay with the hot? All right, well, then I'll let you drink after that.
The boyish fanatic comments to his accomplice.
And I'll be right with you guys.
Receiving a nod from his partner, he waits for a flight attendant to pass, then gets up and strides to the front lavatory. He eyes Ziad and enters the small bathroom. Ziad stares after him. A few rows back, the gray-haired man eats breakfast as he reads his paper. An attendant serves the older couple breakfast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks a lot.
Enjoy.
Now the boyish fanatic exits the lavatory. As the curly-haired attendant brushes past, he faces Ziad. Subtitles. We have to do it now. Ziad peers toward the cockpit. Now in Virginia, Sliney listens to a report.
New York Center wants everything stopped going to their airports and through.
All right, Tony, issue a ground stop for New York Center. Nothing goes into New York Center.
Got it.
At least the first tier on that. Yeah. In fact, hey, you know what? Let's stop Boston, New York, and then maybe stop Washington too. Yeah, whatever's necessary. Just get them stopped now. I don't want any more planes on their frequency taking off.
At Northeast Air Defense, a tracking monitor displays hundreds of green dots. Two red arrows approach.
Foxy!
The dispatcher joins the technician at his screen.
Too much traffic. We can't get the clearance.
It's not acceptable.
They're not giving it to us.
If you need to, get on the line and get the clearance form, but don't take that from them.
Where are those Otis planes? Are we over Manhattan yet? What's going on, MCC?
What's the status on Otis, Foxy?
We're still trying to get a clearance, sir.
We're getting no clearance from the FAA to get those birds over Manhattan. What do you want me to tell weapons?
Screw the FAA. Send those Otis planes now. Get them over Manhattan.
He said, forget about the FAA. Get those birds over Manhattan now.
Elsewhere, more controllers work at banks of radar screens and backlit maps. Words appear. Cleveland Air Traffic Control Center, Cleveland, Ohio.
United 93, Cleveland Center, good morning.
With Captain Dahl.
United 93, Cleveland Center, 119.7. Good day.
You have the aircraft.
I have the aircraft.
Homer vacates his seat. The curly-haired attendant waits at the cockpit door with a tray.
Hi, breakfast guys. Here's one with juice.
Ziad watches her closely.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy, guys. See you later.
As she shuts the door, the boyish fanatic whispers to his accomplice.
But you know, the girls, I could never.
A message appears on the cockpit data link. Your wife called, wanted to make sure you're okay.
As soon as I get on the ground, I give her a call.
You have kids?
Yeah, I do. I have an 11-month-old daughter.
11 months, how's that? You getting any sleep at night?
She's finally beginning to settle down now, so everything's looking good.
My anniversary's coming up. I'm taking my wife to London for a couple days.
Well, that should be good. Yeah, I've been a couple times, but...
You know, we're going to do the usual little sightseeing, do a couple plays, and just kind of get away.
With Colonel Marr.
I've got Otis in the air and two more at Langley. Four planes. That's all I've got. I'm going to need some support. I'm going to need more planes. I've got Otis headed to Manhattan.
That's what they reported.
No, the FAA is giving us problems.
Checking all the other fighter planes that are on the coast.
No, I sent them anyway.
Right now, Langley's sitting at battle station, sir.
Copy that.
Okay, MCC. Boston is telling us American 11 is still in the air.
What?
American 11 is still in the air. We don't know who those planes are.
American 11 is still flying? God damn it. Yeah. All right, surveillance. We got American 11 heading towards Washington now. Let's go. I want you to light up every track south of New York over Jersey.
Carl. Hang on, sir.
Carl.
Yes, go, MCC.
Boston is saying that American 11
is heading towards Washington now, that it's not one of the flights
that went into the trade centers, but it's heading towards Washington. We got to scramble those Langley birds right now.
Fuck? Hold on, sir.
Scramble Langley. Scramble Langley to Washington.
Scramble Langley weapons.
Copy that.
Scramble them to Washington.
Scramble Langley.
No, we just got a report. We're getting bad stuff from the FAA. Bad stuff from the FAA all around. They just told us that 11 was still flying. We thought 11 went into the tower.
All parties acknowledge with initials. Command post.
All right.
Tower. Approach. Giant killer.
In Virginia.
Gentlemen, this is what I want. I want you to contact all the centers. I want to know about any aircraft that they deem suspicious. There's Nordo or lost transponder, off course, change altitude. And let's get it on that board down there and start sharing this information, particularly with the military. Where is that military liaison? Go get him. I tell him I need to speak to him now.
Look. Indy Center just called. They're missing an American 77. They lost 25 minutes ago. He deviated off. American 77. Indianapolis Center. They said they lost his transponder after he turned off course.
We got an American 77 out of Dulles. Lost the transponder.
All right. I want last known position, speed, and altitude. I want it in his track. I want to know where he's heading. We took him into the city. You know, anything is suspect now, especially if he's heading towards the city. I need last known position and track.
All right, do you know who that second airplane was?
To put up on the screen.
Okay, if you find out, let me know.
Boston's tracking another one. Delta 1989. He's another Boston to LAX 767. Right now, he's on course. They are talking to him, but they're very concerned about that flight because it's the exact same profile as these last two.
All right, so listen, fellas. I want you to get a ground stop out across the nation. I want anybody else coming into our airspace. How many have I got airborne now?
4,000 or 5,000.
Huh?
Between 4,000 and 5,000.
4,200.
4,200.
4,200.
All right, no more departures anywhere. You got that? Call Boston.
1,500.
Call Cleveland. No more departures.
In Cleveland.
Copy, Boston to LA. That's Delta 1989 suspected hijack.
Keep the flight 248, contact Cleveland Center, 134.6.
The floor manager approaches a controller.
John, this is suspected hijack from center of Boston, all right? I need you to confirm when you can, all right? Let me know if you hear anything. Delta 1989.
I'll let you know as soon as I can. United 93, Cleveland Center, go ahead.
Cleveland Center, United 93, level 350, still have that light shot.
Aboard United 93, a message appears on the data link. Beware cockpit intrusion. Two aircraft hit World Trade Center. The pilots read it.
Beware cockpit intrusion.
Two aircraft hit the World Trade Center.
Huh?
We just left Newark. The weather was beautiful.
That's got to be student pilots.
Let me just confirm this.
Back at Northeast Air Defense.
What have you got? Do we have anything on 11? We spot nothing?
Come on, guys. Beat the bushes. Where is this guy? What's he doing?
I got two F-16s ready to turn and burn toward Washington. I need to know the ROE, sir.
Sir, what do you want me to do when we intercept American 11?
Can we give them nines in the nose, sir? I need to know that.
if we engage, when do we engage? How do we get the authority to get
birds? What I'm going to do with rules of engagement, sir. Do we shoot this flight down?
How high up do we have to go? SecDef? Vice President? The President has to make the call. Yes, sir.
I need rules of engagement.
Yes, sir. Hold on. MCC, I'm on with Koner right now requesting clarification for rules of engagement.
His face sweating, the Major shakes his head.
Yeah.
Marr shifts restlessly on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
ID type and tail. Yes, sir. All right, thank you, sir.
He hangs up and uses the intercom.
We have no shoot-down authority. No
shoot-down authority at this time. It is ID type and tail. ID type and tail.
Shoot-down authority comes from the President.
And the President only. How long is it going to take to get that authority, sir?
In Virginia.
Where the hell is the liaison?
Boston's stopping. Boston's already stopped there.
Good.
An officer approaches Sliney.
They're here. Colonel, listen, we got a bad situation going on. I need you to do everything you can to get these lines of communication open here. We got at least two planes into that goddamn building. We got multiple situations going on. We've given you people. Listen, I know it's not your job to do this, but you got to do what you can. We got to get jets on every one of those aircraft on that board.
Are you in direct contact with the Pentagon, or are you talking to some liaison?
No. I'm talking to them. They understand the gravity of the situation. I'll give you the best update I can.
Yeah, no, I need action is what I need. I need action.
On United 93.
Exactly. And the long, long quarters with hardly any breaks.
In the front first-class seat, Ziad sighs, facing ahead rigidly.
You took all your aggression and all your, you know, on your shit for the day.
Behind him, the rugby player chats with Tom.
I think golf is pretty much all I'm up for now.
Yeah. Well, not like you have time for anything else.
The boyish terrorist glances back at the clean-shaven one, who nods.
No, you're right.
The boyish man returns to the front lavatory.
I mean, when I left school, I knew I just had to continue rugby in some way. So there's like this league that started.
Instead of entering, he ducks into the seat beside Ziad. He casually stares out the sun-filled window. Ziad keeps his eyes forward.
Sure, I'm talking.
Subtitles. What are you doing here?
Mission is off.
Why are we waiting? It's not the right time. Sit, and I will give you the sign. When? Go and sit down. The boyish terrorist shifts in his seat and glances toward the cockpit. We have to do it now.
I want to get up.
Would you like anything to drink?
No, I'm fine.
Sure?
Yes.
Ziad smiles pleasantly at the passing flight attendant, then glances at his boyish accomplice, who heads back to his seat. Yeah? Ziad blinks behind his thin-framed glasses. The boyish terrorist looks over his shoulder and shakes his head at the clean-shaven man. Wearing a tan jacket, the clean-shaven man stands and opens the compartment above his seat. The boyish terrorist takes another peek behind him and watches the clean-shaven man remove a black carry-on from the overhead storage unit. The terrorist strides up the aisle, clutching the bag. As he enters the lavatory, Ziad glances over the back of his seat at his two other companions. They coolly stare ahead. In the bathroom, the clean-shaven terrorist opens his bag, revealing several items. Taking the knife from his waistband, he cuts the plastic wrapper off a square battery the size of a coffee mug. In coach, one of the flight attendants hands an older teen a cup.
There you are.
Thank you.
Have a nice morning.
In another seat, a woman cuts a roll. The attendant sets a breakfast on a man's tray table.
Here you go, sir.
In the bathroom, the clean-shaven terrorist removes several small bricks of modeling clay from its packaging. In coach, two flight attendants serve passengers as they pass with a cart.
Not having breakfast?
No, thank you. I'm
going to go early.
If you didn't have any scotch, you could put it in there, would you?
It'd be $4. You're welcome. Care for coffee?
Yes.
In the bathroom, the bricks of clay surround the battery. The terrorist takes out a thin roll of red tape and wraps it around the entire device. Back in the coach cabin, a white-haired man turns to his neighbor.
You know, you're coming up the Jersey Turnpike, right? And I'll tell you, New York was like Emerald City.
Yeah.
It was a
another seat, a young woman sleeps wearing earbuds. In first class, the muscular terrorist sits with his hands over his lap, palms up. He and his boyish companion mouth words. In the first row, Ziad does too. In the lavatory, the clean-shaven man opens a slender red box and removes its inner wires. He plunges the ends of each wire into the clay. Next, he unbuttons his shirt. In first class, a woman faces Joe.
Eating for dinner?
Yeah, sounds great.
The girl in powder blue bites into an apple as she writes. In the bathroom, the clean-shaven terrorist belts the clay, battery, and wires around his waist. He sticks one end of the wires with a large button attached into his shirt pocket, then zips up his jacket. As he picks up his bag, he regards his reflection. In first class, Ziad stares straight ahead. Behind him, his two companions keep their gazes on the lit, lavatory-occupied sign. The light goes out and the door opens. The clean-shaven terrorist steps out, his jacket zipped to his collar. As he heads down the aisle, Ziad glances at the other two. The clean-shaven man retakes his seat. Two rows ahead of him, Tom and the rugby player talk across the aisle.
We've got three kids at home, so that's a full-time job right now.
As the clean-shaven man reaches toward his belt, he eyes the curly-haired flight attendant ahead.
And you want to have breakfast, right? Everything okay here?
Good.
Ziad keeps a fierce gaze on her as she steps into the front galley. The muscular terrorist shifts his eyes to his boyish companion and nods. Behind them, the clean-shaven terrorist juts out his chin. The muscular man strides briskly down the aisle toward the front galley. He grabs the flight attendant and puts a knife to her throat. In coach, the attendants and passengers look toward the closed curtain. The clean-shaven terrorist stabs the man seated in front of him in the neck, then rips off his own shirt. The boyish terrorist, now wearing a red bandana around his head, roughly pulls the first-class passengers from their seats. They burst through the curtain into coach. Racing down the aisle, they urge the other passengers to the back of the plane. Ziad remains calm in his seat. As the terrorists clear the last of the first-class passengers out, Ziad gets in the flight attendant's face.
Open the door. Open the door and nobody will be hurt.
The boyish hijacker herds everyone to the back. Up front, the curly-haired attendant knocks on the cockpit door with the knife to her throat.
Do it!
No! No! No!
Get there?
You got the aircraft.
I have the airplane.
Homer climbs out of the co-pilot seat. As he opens the door, the muscular terrorist stabs him several times. In Cleveland, a controller presses his earphone. On the plane, the muscular terrorist attacks Dahl. Ziad pushes the attendant aside and takes the co-pilot's seat. In Cleveland.
He started to scream and somebody said, get out of here, get out of here.
In the cockpit, Dahl struggles with his attacker. In the rear galley, three flight attendants fall forward. Standing in the aisle, Tom grabs an armrest for support. Ziad frantically works the plane's controls, sweat beating on his face. As the plane loses altitude, the blonde flight attendant gets into a passenger seat. Ziad grips the shaking yoke. In coach, the clean-shaven hijacker struggles to sit up in the aisle. In the cockpit, his muscular accomplice continues to struggle with Dahl. Ziad shakily hits some buttons and pushes the throttle forward. As the passengers hang onto their seats, the muscular hijacker drags Dahl's bloody body from the cockpit. The curly-haired attendant cowers in the galley, sobbing. As the plane levels out, the clean-shaven hijacker pulls himself up, and one of the flight attendants awkwardly hurries to the rear galley. The muscular terrorist grabs the curly-haired attendant by the neck and wrist. He brings her into the cockpit. Subtitles. We should kill her now. We don't need her. Ziad glances at her, then looks down. The muscular man puts a hand at her throat. Subtitles. In the name of God, in the co-pilot seat, Ziad whispers. Lord, to you I have submitted myself, given you my faith. On you I depend. Sweat glistens on the hijacker's face as he stares out the windshield. The muscular man quickly shuts the door. In coach, the passengers stare worriedly as the man with the bomb holds up his closed fist around the wires. Tom leans across the aisle to the man in the blue shirt.
Jesus Christ. There's a guy against him. He stabbed this guy.
The attendants gather in the rear galley.
Who is that?
Bomb.
What?
And they have stabbed a passenger.
Oh, my God.
Where is Debbie?
Men
took her. They took her. They grabbed her.
Oh, why is Debbie
taking over the plane? They took Debbie.
The blonde picks up a phone. In the cockpit, the muscular hijacker sits in Dahl's seat. He removes his blood-stained button-down, then writes on a strip of red cloth. Ziad tapes a picture of the Capitol building to the yoke. In the rear galley, the blonde dials. In the cockpit, the muscular terrorist ties the red cloth around his head. Subtitles. Why did you wait? The time had to be right. How long until we reach the target? We've got 50 minutes maximum. Ziad shakes his sport coat off his shoulders and lets out a breath.
Listen to you.
At Cleveland Air Control, a dot marked UAL-93 appears on the controller's screen.
United 93, Cleveland, how do you hear? United 93, Cleveland. United 93, Cleveland, now verify your altitude. Tom, I'm getting no response out of a United 93, no response at all.
93?
Correct.
All right.
Delta 1989, Cleveland Center, 2249.
Delta 1989,
roger.
Hey, Tom, Delta just called in. He sounds good.
This guy here?
I don't think it's a hijack.
So he took a turn around 3:30.
He said he was hijacked.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Him, all right?
I'm just telling you. I don't know if we have one or two, but I know he is descending on his own without a clearance.
Wait a minute, Delta? What about Delta?
Delta's answering. Delta's fine so far. The only one I don't have is the United 93. He's not responding, and he is he was descending on his own. He appears to be climbing now.
In Virginia.
Cleveland just called. There's a United 93. The controller heard screams coming from the cockpit. Sounds like American
Muslims.
This is starting to look like a pattern.
Where was that aircraft last known? You know, which way is he heading? We got to get track information.
He was a Newark to San Francisco flight.
All right.
Still on board.
Get all the adjacent centers. Notify them in every direction. Keep me advised on flight 93.
Hey, Ben.
Delta's fine. He's not a hijacked.
Delta's not. Good.
Take him off the board. Delta 1989.
At Northeast Air Defense.
Yes, sir. Four planes. That's all I've got. I can't defend the whole eastern seaboard with four planes.
What do you got?
Washington's on the phone. They said they've got American 77 lost. They just went missing out of Dulles. He's supposed to go to LAX.
This is another one?
What did she say?
It's heading west, going to LAX. Light me up every track, guys. What do you got?
I don't know how many more there could be in the air, sir, but the point is this. We've got to get them before they're within range of Washington. We've got to get them before they're 60 miles, 50 miles minimum, or we're not going to have a play. We're not going to be able to protect the Capitol.
On the plane, the boyish hijacker throws the stabbed passenger face down into the coach aisle. Tom keeps his head low. The blonde attendant tries the phone again.
Please answer.
The wounded man rolls onto his side.
He's on the floor.
We need something to bandage.
Anybody a doctor? Medic?
She's an EMT.
The boyish man waves the EMT forward.
Keep
trying to call the cockpit. I can't get through.
The blonde sits in a passenger seat.
You need to move over. What is going on?
She takes an aerophone from the back of the center seat in front of her. Meanwhile, the EMT steps forward with her hands raised. The other passengers watch tensely as she kneels at the wounded man's side. The blonde attendant puts the phone to her ear. The message repeats on the cockpit data link. Two aircraft hit World Trade Center. Subtitles. The brothers have hit both targets. Shall I go and tell them? Ziad nods, and the muscular terrorist heads to the door. Ziad yells back at him. Tell them our time has come. As the muscular man leaves, Ziad lets out a heavy breath. In the front galley, the muscular hijacker takes some bottled water from a cabinet. He strides purposefully through the first-class cabin. In coach, the EMT puts pressure on the stabbed passenger's wound. As a seated woman sobs, the terrorist talks with his accomplices. They happily rush toward the front of the plane. Meanwhile, the blonde flight attendant gets through on the airphone.
Hi, my name is Sandy Bradshaw. I'm on United Flight 93 from Newark to San Francisco. Their plane has been hijacked by three guys with knives. One of them's got like a bomb strapped around his waist.
Sandy spies them sipping water by the first class curtain.
How many did you guys see? Three. She thinks there were three. You were sitting in first class, right?
Uh-huh.
They said they saw three. No, they stabbed a first-class passenger.
Shit.
Thank you.
Did they answer? What did they say?
They couldn't tell me anything.
They didn't tell you anything at all?
It's the maintenance department.
Sandy joins the other attendants in the rear.
I got through on the maintenance line. I told him that the plane was hijacked. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what to do. He didn't tell us anything. He's a maintenance guy.
As the two terrorists head back down the aisle, they confer over the EMT. The boyish one pulls her away from her patient. She shakily returns to her seat. In the cockpit, the muscular terrorist passes Dahl's body. We're in control, thanks be to God. He sits in the pilot's seat. God willing, we are going to get there. Ziad punches a series of buttons on a center control panel as his companion rinses blood from his hands with the bottled water. In the cabin, Tom rests his cheek against his seat's headrest.
I think we're turning.
The man in the blue shirt looks out his window. The rugby player sits up alertly.
Wait, we're turning. Are we turning?
A man in a polo shirt sits behind the man with wavy blonde hair.
I hope so.
They're in Mogadishu. They ask, you know, for money. They will ask for ransom. They will let us go.
We're going back to the airport, all right? So we're going back to the airport. We're trained to deal with the situation, okay? And they'll get us down on the ground, all right? Okay?
I mean, this is... Well, I'm a pilot. I've been flying all my life, but it's... Something's wrong here.
The amateur pilot in the polo shirt sits low in his seat. Tom sneaks a glance back up the aisle, then looks up front to the two terrorists. Now in Virginia.
Anybody know where 77 is?
Cleveland Center is the last one to talk to United.
Cleveland
93.
Center is the last one to spoke to United 93.
But what about the military response on this?
I'm letting them know where we are with this. Listen, you got to get somebody down the hallway to talk to them.
They're supposed to be liaisoning with the military. And I've got this colonel here that is not giving me the answers I need.
We're giving you the best we can, sir, the best information I've got. We're trying to get this cap established over New York.
I don't give a shit about the cap. Listen to me.
I've got a board full of planes, American 77 missing, United 93, another suspected hijack.
Where are those fighter jets? Are they in a, you got to get them in a position to do something about these aircraft.
At Northeast Air Defense.
Right now, they've got... two jets up in Pike Alpena right now.
Get them on frequency, hand them off to them.
What do you got, Roberts? What do you got, Foxy? What do you got?
We got two F-16s out of Selfridge, Chevy flight, airborne. We're coming to our freak now. They're unarmed, but that's all we've got.
Copy that.
We're going to need more support, and I've got to know, sir, when they get there, what can they do?
For a real-world military mission.
I understand it's a commercial airliner, sir. There will be casualties, but what? Think about what happens if they hit the ground. Think of what happens if they hit the Capitol, sir. Go ahead, MCC. Go ahead.
We got two F-16s coming out of Selfridge, but they're unarmed.
But how many more are out there? That's the question. We've got to report at least one more. May we engage?
On United 93.
I think we shouldn't provoke them. Just do what they want, and then we'll land and let us go and let
shouldn't
the authorities
to
take care of
them. Maybe we can negotiate with them. I don't know.
Tom peers over the seat in front of him. With his eyes on the two terrorists, he takes a credit card from his pocket. As he slides it into a slot next to an airphone, the black-haired man swallows hard. Tom takes a look at the terrorists who watch them from the front of the cabin. Keeping the airphone low, he slides his credit card down its length. The black-haired passenger nervously looks to the terrorists. The clean-shaven one holds his decoy detonator high. Letting his gaze drop to the phone, Tom dials. The boyish hijacker takes a step forward and eyes the quieted passengers warily. As the clean-shaven one faces his companion, pointing his knife at the hostages, Tom lifts the phone to his ear. In other seats, the black-haired passenger reaches into his pocket and the rugby player dials an airphone. The boyish terrorist angrily points toward them. The man in the police vest also dials an airphone. Tom slouches low in his seat.
Just listen to me, sweetie. I want you to call the authorities.
I'm calling from the airphone.
The rugby player ducks low with his phone.
You believe me, don't you, Mom?
Sandy and the cleft-chinned attendant stare wide-eyed from the galley. The man in the blue shirt glances over his shoulder. Down the aisle, the flight attendants take a cautious step forward.
We gotta go up there.
Sandy takes a first aid kit from an overhead compartment. Up ahead, the boyish terrorist points his knife.
Let's take us back to the...
It's all right. Just this.
Chef Omega.
Let us see the passenger, just the passenger.
The man in the fleece vest holds his earphones.
Richard, it's Jeremy. I'm on the plane. Let me talk to Lizzie. I'm on the plane. Let me talk to Lizzie.
As the two flight attendants move forward, the boyish terrorist points.
Okay, Dali, you, Dali.
There's a passenger. I stabbed.
Okay. The women pass the rugby player.
Just checking the passenger.
Did you contact the pilot?
No, nobody said anything. We can't get through the cockpit.
As the attendants kneel to the wounded passenger, the black-haired man uses his earphone.
Okay, sir.
We're United Flight 93. We've been hijacked. There's three men with knives. One of them has a bomb strapped around his waist.
The two terrorists talk heatedly, the clean-shaven one pointing behind him at the passengers. In the cockpit, the muscular hijacker gets up. He drags Debbie's body away with Sandy.
Bismillah.
His pulse. Is he breathing?
The cleft-chinned attendant feels the stabbed man's wrist. As Sandy looks up, she notices the clean-shaven terrorist stick his head through the curtain. Beyond it, she glimpses the boyish and muscular hijackers moving Dahl's body into the front galley. Wide-eyed, Sandy looks away.
Oh my God, you gotta come here.
What is it?
Come here.
As she stands, she sees the boyish hijacker heading back down the aisle toward coach. Sandy leads the other attendant to the rear of the plane. Tom stops her.
What's happening up there? What is happening?
Listen, sir.
What is happening?
We're going back to the airport. Everything's going to be fine. I don't know.
The boyish hijacker brusquely closes the curtain. Sandy gathers the attendants in the galley.
Get back here. Listen. They're on. The pilots are on the ground. That was the pilots. They're on the ground outside the cockpit. They're on the floor.
What?
Stewart just said pilots aren't flying the plane. She saw two bodies in front of the cockpit on the floor.
The black-haired man relays the information into the phone.
He said he saw the pilot and the co-pilot on the floor.
The rugby player's gaze darts in the cockpit. Open the door. The muscular hijacker quickly lets the boyish terrorist in. They may have seen us moving the bodies. What? How? I don't know. Ziad stares soberly, his hands gripping the yoke. Now in Northeast Command Control.
MCC, Cleveland is saying that Delta 1989 is considered a hijack. They're considering Delta 1989 a hijack.
Delta 1989 suspected hijack, heading west. Hit me up, every traffic.
Two planes.
This is a second plane, sir, coming in. We got the one going west out of Boston, and American 11 coming into Washington.
We still got the Selfridge plane, sir.
No, sir.
These guys are not armed.
These fighters are not armed, and we could ram if we ram them and eject, sir. Do we have the authority, though?
In Virginia.
We spoke to Cleveland. They said the U.S. Air 2619 was headed towards Chicago. They've just evacuated this here's tower.
Jesus Christ.
United 93 is now reported as no auto, no transponder, and now headed eastbound over Cleveland.
Let me know what the hell's going on.
6 miles southwest of the White House, Boston Center's tracking a primary moving fast.
Let me call those
tower.
Give me this again.
At Northeast Air Defense, dozens of glowing blips cover a monitor.
Southwest of Washington, headed straight
in. Sir, I got another flight coming up south.
We have a plane headed toward the Capitol. Yes, I need to know about the ROE. Can we engage?
I want to give you a 30-mile circle around Reagan National. Right now, you hit me up every track on every aircraft.
Do we have any communication with the president at all?
We're the fighters.
How long can that take?
In Virginia.
Air Force One's taking off. They don't know anything about it. They don't know where he's going.
They don't know anything about it.
We got two. All right, thanks, guys.
We're evacuating it right now.
Are we going to get an intercept on this?
Okay. Good. Go get yourself out of your chair. Go down to coordination.
Just send somebody.
What we have.
You know where they're headed.
At Northeast Air Defense.
How about the vice president, sir? Do we have a location on the vice president?
Well, then the vice president can make the call.
The vice president can make the call. We can engage.
Holy shit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the ETA on those Langley birds?
Foxy!
Spiders are airborne at 0930, but they brought them out on an eastbound heading rather than our northbound. We're going to get them turned as soon as possible.
What the fuck? They're what? They're heading east?
What the hell is wrong out there? Why are those planes off course?
It looks like they came out on a standard scramble heading instead of the one I gave. We're trying to get clearance to turn them now.
How the fuck did they get out there?
I don't know, sir.
What the fuck are they doing out over the water? I don't care, goddammit, if they break windows. You turn them back over
roll
land.
Quad sevens, turn them towards Washington now.
A CNN report shows smoke billowing over rooftops.
A plane that crashed at the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is being evacuated. There is a large fire there, and that is the smoke you see in the shot that you are looking at now. Whether that fire is in the building itself or outside, we have not yet confirmed. There is a fire on the Mall in Washington. The cause of the fire on the Mall in Washington, we cannot yet tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell you that the
Foxy, sir, I want those Langley birds over Washington.
Foxy nudges a stunned colleague.
Go back. Surveillance. I want you to hit up tracks west of Cleveland, heading towards Las Vegas. Hit up. Light me up every track you got. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's keep going here. Let's keep working. ID, what do you got?
All right. He's off course. He's deviated. We don't know why.
With Colonel Marr.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Confirmed hijackings.
That's the question. What are we going to do now?
In Virginia, all the workers stare.
So something hit the Pentagon on the outside of the 5th Corridor, on the Army Corridor. Several Army officers I talked to reported hearing a big explosion, seeing sharp.
Listen, I'm not taking any more chances. We got stuff flying around we have no control over. And I don't want a board full of these planes hitting every building on the East Coast. This is a national emergency. Everyone lands regardless of destination.
That's going to cost billions.
Just do it.
We have hundreds of international flights coming in. They're already in the air.
No, I don't want any more international flights crossing the borders. They don't have to go back where they came from. Nobody's coming into the country from now on.
Everyone,
shut off the East Coast. Shut off all the international from Europe. Shut off South America. Shut off the West Coast. Nothing over the top either.
Canada.
Yeah, Canada too.
Can I shut down the airspace?
No, I can't accept anybody. No.
Nobody takes off.
Land them all.
Take a moment. Think about this. We're gonna shut down the entire country right now?
That's right. Listen, we're at war with someone. And until we figure out what to do about it, we're shutting down. That's it. We're finished.
On United 93, Jeremy clutches his airphone, hunched low behind the seat in front of him.
I don't know what to do.
The clean-shaven bomb keeper backs down the aisle, watching the passengers.
They don't know.
Holding his phone, Tom relays a message to others nearby.
What? Two planes hit the World Trade Center.
In
New York, the World Trade Center. Two planes.
He faces the rugby player.
It says that there was an explosion at the World Trade Center.
What did he say?
What?
Tell the stewardess. Two planes hit the World Trade Center.
Two planes hit the World Trade Center. Tell the stewardesses. What about
pass
the five planes?
Someone pass that back.
Shh. Just a second. Right?
Two planes crashed into the World Trade Center.
The message reaches the attendants in the galley. Sandy creeps out to the whispering passengers.
What did you
say? I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Something new.
Why are you guys hearing this?
Somebody from up there said it. Ask
him. Sandy makes her way up to Jeremy on his phone call.
It's airplane. They bombed the World Trade Center?
One of the others hit the World Trade Center.
Lizzie, is it? It's planes. It's not a bomb. It's two airplanes. It's not a bomb.
It's airplanes.
What?
One after the other hit the World Trade Center.
Where did this? Who's here? You said it was on the news.
Sandy eases past to the black-haired man.
Are you hearing this?
Two planes hit the World Trade Center. Is that right?
Yes. Do they make planes?
Whose planes? What airline? Is it United?
She moves to Tom.
Okay, sweetie. I will call you back. I promise. I just talked to my wife. Two planes have hit the World Trade Center. There are five jets that have been hijacked.
With Jeremy.
One of them, or we?
Lizzie. Lizzie, not the Trade Center, right? But the Pentagon. Into the Pentagon.
Beside Jeremy, the black-haired man passes the message up to Sandy and the others.
What did they say? There's an explosion at the Pentagon. Just tell him that. That's all we know.
Hey. There was an explosion at the Pentagon.
An explosion at the Pentagon, not a fire, an explosion.
Sandy eyes the clean-shaven terrorist who shifts on his feet, glaring. In the cockpit, the muscular terrorist holds his bloody hands open, palms up. Ziad sweats profusely. Blood stains the center control panels. Sunlight shines harshly on Ziad's face, reflecting off his glasses. His lean, muscular accomplice rocks back and forth in the pilot's seat. The terrorist pilot stares at the instruments. Subtitles. We must go lower.
The United 93
calling.
Ziad turns a knob. As he pushes the yoke forward, his companion braces himself. On the gyroscope, the level bar dips below the artificial horizon. In the cabin, Sandy straps herself into a passenger seat. The rugby player grits his teeth as he and others struggle to press themselves against their seat backs. In the rear, one attendant holds a fallen co-worker's outstretched wrist while bracing herself. The clean-shaven terrorist sits wedged in the aisle, straining against the descent. Jeremy presses his hands against the seat in front of him. In the cockpit, Ziad eases the yoke back, clenching his jaw. The muscular terrorist releases his braced grip on the dash and sits back as the plane slowly levels out. The girl in powder blue sobs. The clean-shaven terrorist awkwardly gets to his feet and holds his clenched fist overhead, showing the bomb's attached wires. Slouching in his seat, the black-haired traveler lets out a breath and lifts the airphone to his ear.
Okay, we're okay. Oh, we're okay.
Sandy shakes her head and rocks back and forth. Tom faces the tearful rugby player.
Hey, this is a suicide mission.
We have to do something.
They are not going to land this plane. They are not going to take us back to the airport.
I don't think there's any other option we have.
If we're gonna die, we're gonna die. They're flying this into a building. We're gonna
die. You should not interfere.
There's a lot of us, but we gotta do something. Can you see how low we are?
Is there a weapon? Is there something we can use?
Go back. You go back. Stewardess, listen to me. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Go back and you get everything you can. Get every weapon you can. Get whatever we can use as a weapon.
What are we gonna do?
We'll figure that out, but get every weapon we can.
The boyish terrorist stomps his feet. Sandy heads to the rear.
We need every big guy. Every big guy. Every big guy. Luggage. Luggage.
Sandy gathers the attendants in the galley.
Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. Okay. We need to boil water.
What? You gotta get what?
You gotta get weapons.
Jeremy sobs into his airphone. In the galley.
What else can we use? What else?
Wine bottles, forks, knives.
The guy that I was sitting in front of said he doesn't think the bomb is real. That's all I know.
He's on his way back.
As the two terrorists confer at the first class curtain, they spot Tom dashing to the rear galley.
Is he still with Ned?
Mark!
I'm
going
to call me as passengers and go along with the plan you come up with.
The terrorists watch Jeremy run into the galley.
So what do we do? What do you have?
We got the forks, knives, hot water. Uh-huh. I gave him the fire extinguisher.
Just let them go.
Hey, sit!
The passengers shift restlessly as the rugby player marches to the galley. Tom turns his attention from the hijackers.
Okay.
The boyish terrorist heads off through first class. Back in the rear galley.
Do you really think you'd get a bomb
that
on
guy,
board this
yeah,
plane?
That guy in front of you said he didn't think it was real.
I know. That's what I think, too. How does he get a bomb on board this plane?
As the clean-shaven terrorist paces nervously in the aisle, the EMT uses her cell phone.
Jack, are you there? Wake up, sweetie.
Among the passengers, the man in denim makes the sign of the cross, and a woman trembles.
Okay. I just want to tell you I love you.
Joe clutches an airphone beside his girlfriend.
I love you. I gotta give the phone to Linda now. Bye, Dad.
He lowers the phone. Back with the EMT.
We take us all out.
I just love you more than anything. Know that. I'll. Please tell my family I love them too. Bye, honey.
With Joe's girlfriend.
Please give my love to Mom and Dad. And I really, really love you.
My safe is in the bedroom in the closet. They call me
the nation is 302 and 0913 in engineer. My will is inside.
In the cockpit, the muscular hijacker opens the door for his boyish accomplice. They've gone to the back of the plane. They're talking together. He faces Ziad. What are we going to do if they're planning an attack? The muscular terrorist shuts the door and sits next to the flustered pilot. Oh God, oh God. How much longer? 20 minutes. 20 minutes? We can't keep going for 20 minutes. The plane cannot go any faster. In the rear galley, Jeremy faces Tom.
I'm training in there, I'm training you down.
So? Okay, so we go up right behind you.
We have to go very fast.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna, I don't give a fuck if that thing is real or not. I'm gonna get his arm. I'm gonna get his arm and I'm gonna break his arm.
The boyish terrorist returns to the cabin.
Ahmed! Hey, Ahmed!
The clean-shaven man faces him. The boyish hijacker charges toward the black-haired passenger who leans into the aisle talking to a neighbor.
What is it?
Somebody else?
As they watch from the galley, the terrorist hits and shakes the man. Moving away, he shoves the passenger in front of him. The black-haired man holds up his hand submissively as the terrorist runs up front. The droopy-faced man leaves his seat.
Sit! 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 Sit!
As he heads to the rear galley, turbulence rocks the plane. He ducks into the lavatory. An attendant looks out a bright window.
You're not supposed to be able to see the ground that low.
No, we're not this fast.
The rugby player punches a hatch in the lavatory.
911? 911. Yes. Hijacking in progress. I'm in the bathroom. United Flight 93.
In a seat, a plump woman makes a call.
I love you too.
The woman squeezes her eyes shut, then offers her phone to the sobbing older teen beside her.
You call your people.
She accepts it, grimacing sadly. Meanwhile, the boyish terrorist heads to the cockpit, back in the galley.
Teddy. How do we get into the cockpit door?
Breakaway panic.
You go after me, but you go fast. Listen.
Yeah, I'm listening, but we need to know who's going to fucking fly the plane.
Go for his throat.
What?
He said he could fly.
Fine.
He said he could fly.
Listen, I think we're
the attendants point. Jeremy hustles down the aisle, and Tom makes his way to the seat behind the amateur pilot.
You were a pilot?
Okay. I mean, a single engine. I mean, you know.
Right. You can fly this plane.
I don't know. I mean, I'll try.
Okay. We're gonna get you up there. I understand. That's why we got to do something right now. That's right. We're all alone up here. Right. We're going to take you up to the front of the plane.
If you can
come
get
up
me,
behind us.
If you can get me in there, I think I might be able to land it, but I need a lot of help from the ground.
I can talk you down.
You don't have any choice.
I can talk you down. I did 8 years ATC.
Okay. You did?
All right. Listen, when you get me in there, you've got to get a hold of the controls, because if he does anything sudden,
we don't have enough room. We don't have enough room to pull out of it. Okay? We've got to get him off the control.
Sandy searches the galley cabinets.
I don't know.
There are three of us.
There's a pilot. We gotta get the pilot.
The rugby player shoves a fire extinguisher down the back of his pants.
I understand.
We have to do something.
We are alone up here. Nobody's gonna help us. We gotta do it. Okay?
The plotting passengers file down the rows and take aisle seats ahead of the other travelers. Meanwhile, sunlight falls on the older teen's face as she makes her call.
Hi, Mom. It's me. I'm on the plane. It's been hijacked. Yeah, I'm just calling to tell you that I love you and goodbye. This really kind woman handed me the phone and she said to call you.
With a black-haired man.
If I don't make it out of this alive, will you please promise that you call my family? Thank you. Just tell them I love them. Tell my wife and my boys that I love.
Here, take these. There's more. Pass these along.
The attendants distribute silverware among the passengers. The clean-shaven terrorist watches the group warily. Sandy makes a call.
Phil, it's me. I've been on a plane that's been hijacked. Listen, a bunch of the guys got together and they said that we're gonna try and take over the plane. I promise I'm good tomorrow.
As the plotter's ready, the wavy-haired man jumps up. The terrorists turn alertly. The passengers restrain the panicked man and pin him down on a row of seats. The clean-shaven terrorist points his knife and holds up his thumb on the button. He backs toward the curtain. The black-haired man bows his head and speaks into his earphone.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
In the cockpit. In the front galley, the boyish terrorist stands trance-like over the dead crew members. In back, the cleft-chinned attendant makes a call.
Baby, I don't want to be here. Baby.
Listening, she winces and nods. Tom makes a call.
Break into the cockpit. I'm going to fly it. No one's going to be okay.
What's in that yet?
The clean-shaven terrorist watches his companions converse outside the cockpit door.
I love you too.
Tom hangs up solemnly. The plotting passengers lean forward in their seats.
Guys, what are we waiting for? Let's roll. Come on, let's go already.
As the rows of men sit tensed, the black-haired man looks around anxiously.
Let's go.
In the cockpit, the muscular terrorist tightens his red headband, and Ziad sits glistening with sweat. Back in coach, the clean-shaven terrorist brandishes his knife.
Hey!
As he turns his back to the passengers to peer into the first-class cabin, Jeremy and the others charge. Jeremy knees him in the chest. As he tackles the man by the first-class bulkhead, the boyish terrorist hurries to the cockpit door. The muscular Saeed checks a peephole. As Ziad buckles his seatbelt, the rugby player bludgeons the fallen terrorist with a fire extinguisher. In the back, a woman weeps and others scramble. The blows with the fire extinguisher splatter blood onto the cabin wall. In the cockpit, Saeed barks at Ziad. The man in blue grabs the bomb. As he pulls it apart, others hurry up the aisle. In the cockpit, Saeed drops into the captain's seat. Ziad jerks the co-pilot's yoke to the right. In the cabin, Sandy drops to all fours in the aisle, and a woman queasily braces herself in her seat. In the cockpit, a gauge needle cycles counterclockwise. As Ziad pushes the throttle, three of the male passengers fall flat in the first-class aisle. Back in the cockpit, as Saeed prays, the boyish terrorist in the cabin stumbles. Sandy lies face down, gripping the bolted legs of two seats. Back in the cockpit, the gyroscope's artificial horizon shows a 30-degree angle. As Ziad glances anxiously at a clear-sleeved document holder clipped next to the windshield, Saeed stumbles to the peephole. In the cabin, the passengers and Sandy manage to get to their feet. In the cockpit, as Jeremy stumbles, the man in blue struggles farther down the aisle. Now, Ziad toggles the yoke and the passengers tumble, reaching the first-class section. As they strain, entangled in the aisle, the boyish fanatic charges with a beverage cart. The black-haired man reaches up to stop it as it hits the blockade of passengers. The boyish terrorist pushes on the cart. He waves his knife at the passengers' faces and stabs at their hands. Back in the cockpit, Ziad banks the jet at a 45-degree angle, forcing the passengers off balance. Someone shoves the beverage cart hard into the boyish terrorist's back. As he clambers away, Jeremy and the others advance. The boyish terrorist blasts the passengers with a fire extinguisher. Jeremy charges through the haze and tackles him. Now, just outside the cockpit, he holds the terrorist immobile. Sandy screams, and Joe and Linda huddle together. As the passengers' bloody hands reach for the terrorist's knife, Jeremy keeps the man in a chokehold. Tom reaches for the knife, too. Now, Ziad turns to Saeed.
Give
Get the knife!
As a passenger yanks the knife free, Jeremy gives the terrorist's head a hard, wrenching twist. The passengers hurry the amateur pilot forward, but he stumbles. Behind the cockpit door, Saeed grips a hammer. Now, the men leading the charge ram the cockpit door repeatedly with the cart. Inside, Ziad sweats profusely at the controls. Men kick at the door. Its metal lining gives and tears. Inside the cockpit, the door's plastic surfacing cracks severely and buckles inward. Ziad cries out. In the cockpit windows, land fills our view. Meanwhile, the passengers pry the compromised door loose. They reach for Saeed, then Ziad. The picture of the Capitol building gets knocked off the yoke. As seated passengers weep in the cabin, the cockpit windows show the landscape yields swiftly to open sky. Now, hands grab for a terrorist box cutter, and the rugby player grips the pilot's yoke. As Ziad resists at the controls, the people in the cabin grimace against the momentum. Sunlight floods through the windows at rapidly changing angles. In the cockpit, the gyroscope shows the horizon flip. As passengers roll off the upturning seats, oxygen masks drop at an unnatural angle. Tom fights Ziad for possession of the yoke. The Pennsylvania countryside outside the cockpit window spirals closer and closer. The picture goes black. Of the four aircraft hijacked that day, United 93 was the only one that did not reach its target. It crashed near Shanksville, Pennsylvania at 10:03 a.m. No one survived. Military commanders were not notified that United 93 had been hijacked until 4 minutes after it had crashed. The nearest fighter jets were 100 miles away. At 10:18 a.m., the president authorized the military to engage hijacked aircraft. Fearing an accidental shootdown, military commanders chose not to pass the order to pilots in the air. By 12:06 p.m., every civilian airliner over America had been forced to land. Amidst an unprecedented military mobilization, U.S. airspace was closed until further notice. Dedicated to the memory of all those who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. Written and directed by Paul Greengrass. Produced by Tim Bevan, Eric Fellner, Lloyd Levin, Paul Greengrass. Executive producers, Deborah Hayward, Liza Chasen. Director of Photography, Barry Aykroyd, BSC. Editors, Claire Douglas, Christopher Rouse, ACE, Richard Pearson. Production designer, Dominic Watkins. Costume designer, Dinah Collin. Visual effects supervisor, Peter Chang. Associate producers, Michael Bronner, Kate Solomon. Line producer, Mary Bett, post-production supervisor Mike Solinger, music by John Powell, sound mixer Chris Monroe, casting by Amanda Mackey, CSA, Kathy Sandridge Gelfond, CSA, John Hubbard, Dan Hubbard, Sig de Miguel. A Universal Pictures and Studio Canal presentation in association with Sidney Kimmel Entertainment, a working title production, a Paul Greengrass film, United 93. Cast, United 93 crew, J.J. Johnson as Captain Jason M. Dahl, Gary Comick as First Officer Leroy Homer, Polly Adams as Deborah Welsh, Opal Aladdin is Cece Lyles. Starla Benford is Wanda Anita Green. Trish Gates as Sandra Bradshaw. Nancy McDaniel as Lauren G. Bay. United 93 Passengers. David Allen Bash as Todd Beamer. Richard Beacons as William Joseph Cashman. Susan Blamert as Jane Folger. Ray Charlson as Joseph DeLuca. Christian Clemenson as Thomas E. Burnett Jr. Liza Colanzeas as Waleska Martinez. Lorna Dallas as Linda Gronland. Denny Dillon as Colleen Fraser. Treese Dunn as Diora Francis Bodley. Kate Jennings Grant as Lauren Cattuzzi Grancolis. Peter Herman as Jeremy Glick. Tara Hugo as Kristen White Gould. Marceline Hugo as Georgine Rose Corrigan. Cheyenne Jackson as Mark Bingham. Joe Jamrog as John Talignani. Corey Johnson as Louis J. Nacky II. Masato Kamo as Toshi Aikuge. Becky London as Jean Hoadley Peterson. Peter Marinker as Andrew Garcia. Jody Lynn McClintock as Marion R. Britton. Libby Morris as Hilda Marcin. Tom O'Rourke as Donald Peterson. Simon Poland as Alan Anthony Bevan. David Rash as Donald Freeman Green. Eric Redman as Christian Adams. Michael J. Reynolds as Patrick Joseph Driscoll. John Rothman as Edward P. Felt. Daniel Sawley as Richard Gaudano. Rebecca Scholl as Patricia Cushing. Chloe Serene as Honor Elizabeth Wainio. Olivia Thirlby as Nicole Carol Miller. Chip Zane as Mark Rothenberg. Lee Zimmerman as Christine Snyder. United 93 Hijackers. Khalid Abdallah as Ziad Jara. Louis Al-Samari as Saeed Al-Ghamdi. Omar Berdouni as Ahmad Al-Haznawi. Jamie Harding as Ahmad Al-Nami. Boston Air Traffic Control, Thomas Roberts as himself. Boston Controllers, Michael Bencal, Tom Fitzgerald, Bard Mark. John Moraitis as Supervisor, Scott Turin as Boston Controller. Cleveland Air Traffic Control, Cleveland Supervisors Amanda Boxer, Morgan Deere, Daniel Fraser as Cleveland Controller. Herndon, Ben Sliney as himself, Tobin Miller as himself, Rich Sullivan as himself, Tony Smith as himself, Michael Bofshever as John White, Herndon Staff, Carol Bento, Robert Service, Matt Siebert, Peter Wong. NEADS, Major James Fox as himself, Staff Sergeant Shauna Fox as herself, First Lieutenant Jeremy Powell as himself, Patrick Saint-Esprit as Major Kem Nasipani, Greg Henry as Colonel Robert Marr, Karen Kirkpatrick as Major Don Deskins, New York Air Traffic Control, Kurt Applegate as himself, New York Controllers, Kevin Delaney, John Kaplan, Johnny Smith, Newark Tower, Greg Callahan as himself, Rick Tepper as himself, Bill Walsh as Newark Supervisor. With thanks to Silky Adams, General Larry Arnold, Christian Basbali, Eric A. Bay, Mark Bay, David Beamer, Michael Beamer, Peggy Beamer, Chris Beavan, John Beavan, Kimmy Beavan, Sonali Beavan, Sherry Benson, Tim Benson, Bob Berger, Andrew Bernstein, Jim Best, Lizbeth Glick Best, Kevin Bianchi, Jerry Bingham, Karen Bingham, Barbara Black, Michael Blake, Lieutenant Colonel Casey Blaney, Sandra Bodley, Jim Bulber, Deborah Borza, David Battaglia, Phil Bradshaw, Ross Bratley, Paul Britton, Laura Brow, Laura J. Brown, Beverly Burnett, Dina Burnett, Tom Burnett Sr., Mary Jarmson Bush, Marilyn Callahan, John Carr, Maggie Cashman, Doug Church, Sam Corsello, Phil Craig, Pagin Cushing, Sandy Dahl, Colonel Don Deskins, Dan Diggins, Master Sergeant Maureen Dooley, Chris Driscoll, August Essman, Emma Essman, Jane M. Essman, Tony Farthing, Gordon Felt, Sandy Felt, Laura Folger, Lucy M. Folger, Robert T. Folger, Christine Fraser, Dorothy Garcia, Jerry Gargnani, Charles Glanville, Sheena Glanville, Donna Glessner, Emmy Glick, Pam Gould, Jack Grancolis, Charlie Green, Claudette Green, Jody Green, Randy Green, Terry Green, Doris Gronland, Elsa Gronland Strong, Beatrice Guadagno, Jerry Guadagno, Lori Guadagno, Matt Hall, John Hartling, Dan Hattelstad, Licia Hattelstad, Mike Hayes, Bill Heiderich, Carol Heiderich, Esther Hyman, Alice A. Hoglan, Candace Hoglan, Lee N. Hoglan, Vaughn Hoglan, Melody Homer, Carol Hughes, Captain Herb Hunter, Sandra Jamerson, Lisa Jefferson, Robert Jones, Danita Judge, Mariko Kabaragi, Betty Kemmerer, Mike Kucharik, Yachio Kuge, Kathy Kulik, Paige Lang, Dequi LaPenta, Kevin Larson, Lasham ATC, Rick Law, Bonnie LeVar, Mark Libby, Angela Lopez, Annette Lord, Barbara Lunt, Lorne Lyles, Sugar Manley, Colonel Robert Marr, Marriott Langley, Catherine Miller, David Miller, Tiffany Miller DeVries, John and Judy Mulligan, Maureen Mulligan, the National Park Service, Kenny Nacky, Louis Nacky, Paula Nacky Jacobs, Colonel Kevin Nasipani, Newark Airport, Andrew Newell, Carol O'Hare, Hamilton Peterson, Ian Pescaia, Pinewood Hotel, Catherine Price, Jennifer Price, Andy Proger, Quality Hotel Langley, Renaissance Hotel Heathrow, Jeff Richardson, Steve Roebuck, Betty Root, Ed Root, Edwin Root, Carrie Ross, Meredith Rothenberg, Staff Sergeant Stacia Roundtree, Eva Rupp, Captain Mark Seal, Grace Sherwood, Janice Snyder, Neil Snyder, Colonel Clark Speicher, Mary Speicher, Kathy Stefani, Wayne Stefani, Lynn Silva, Stansted Airport, Mary Steiner, John Tam, Oliver Tobias, Master Sergeant John Tomasi, Chris Tucker, Joan Marie Terciano, Terry Raymond Tiksinski, Allison Vadon, Ben Wainio, Sarah Wainio, Barbara Welsh, Patrick Welsh, John Worth, John White, Mary Louise White, Patrick White, Greg Wojthaler, Peter Zalewski, Mitch Zykowski, Sherry Zykowski, filmed on location in New York, Boston, Washington, Morocco, and at Pinewood Studios, England. The film portrays events related to the terrorist attack of September 11, 2001. While meticulous research has gone into all aspects of the production, United 93 is ultimately a creative work based upon fact. And in dramatizing the story for the screen, some characters have been necessarily composited, and certain events, dialogue, and chronology fictionalized. No assumption should be made that any of the persons, companies, or products shown or mentioned in the film have endorsed this production. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries, and its unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film was not sponsored by and is not affiliated with United Airlines. Copyright 2006 Universal Studios, all rights reserved. A logo. Working title. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures. Read by Pat Lentz. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. This motion picture has been rated R, restricted by the Classification and Rating Administration. Under 17 requires accompanying parent or adult guardian.